STEM pros, let's be real. You got the degree, the skills, maybe even several years in, but you're not getting the recognition or leadership positions that you're looking for. Well, it might not be you. Actually, I don't think it is. You just haven't picked up the right tools to help move the needle. That's where the Be Incredible Starter Pack comes in. You get a leadership masterclass, a resume template, interview guide to be a pro at interviewing, and even a budget template to level up your financial game. If you're serious about stepping into your next level, head to incredipaul.org/start and grab your starter pack today.
Young scientists, particularly young scientists of color, rarely think that they have the right or privilege, right, to direct the career paths. The mindset shift, right? Because it's almost like somebody, you know, tells you about a position or a job. You're like, oh, I'm just lucky to even hear about it. So I'm going to go into it without even ever thinking first, you know, is this something that I want to do? Is this something that's going to, you know, lead me down a path? I would be in the backyard just, you know, capturing snails and small animals doing dissections. And my mom was like, okay, he's either going to be a scientist or he's going to be a serial killer. You should be open to learning new skills even before the promotion, right? You should be able to communicate across different disciplines, filling the gaps where needs are met. You know, a lot of us have a lot of this mindset of, I came in here to do my job, what was in the description, and go home, collect my paycheck and go home. And it's like, that's not how we grow in roles. Turn this up.
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferranby, aka Incredipaul, and welcome to Incredipaul Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're only listening to this episode, I want you to know that you can also watch it on YouTube. But regardless if you're listening or watching the show, thank you so much for your support. Today, I have the honor of having Tamuka Chidiasekou, PhD, aka DJ Dr. Mook, on the show. He's a protein engineer, science communicator, and educator, passionate about making STEM accessible through pop culture and the arts. So that was just a little bit about you, Dr. Mook, but how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast, Paul. This is such a pleasure. But yeah, as you said, I am a science communicator as well as a principal scientist at a biotech pharma. So I thrive particularly in engineering proteins. Proteins are these machines in our bodies that don't get as much credit as I wish they would. Not only do I love working with them on the wet lab bench computationally through AI tools like Google Fold, AlphaFold, Rosetta Fold, but also on the wet lab bench, actually working with the physical proteins to determine the structure or to determine their functionality. I also lead a small team here in Boston, Massachusetts, where we try to answer these very important questions in drug discovery, specifically where do these proteins can be utilized for drugs in pharmacology. As a founder of Stimulator, I am a science communicator who loves to talk about these proteins in a more nuanced way using pop culture. As you alluded to earlier, we have a number of different programs that we run, including Hip Hop Biochemistry, where we link hip hop songs to these protein molecules. And so I'm excited to talk to you about that today, Paul, and go into some of the nitty gritties of some of the results that we've had over the last 3 years. Yeah.
So you had me at linking hip-hop songs to protein molecules. I don't know if I've ever heard both of those things in the same sentence. So talk to me how that even happens. Yeah. How did you start to work on Stimulator?
Yeah. So I graduated my PhD from the University of Washington in Seattle under the tutelage of Dr. David Baker, where the whole premise was creating brand new proteins from scratch on the computer, testing them out in the wet lab and seeing if they match what you designed for. But what was really awesome is quickly we were able to not only design you know, novel proteins, but proteins with functions that would attack new problems that are existing in this world. In fact, David actually won the Nobel Prize in chemistry last year in 2024.
Wow. What? That's like a mic drop moment you dropped a few minutes into this, but keep going. Keep going.
No, thank you. Thank you. But you now you understand, Paul. So, as his first Black graduate student in this lab with this really innovative research, when I graduated in 2019, I had in my mind, like, oh my gosh, my community knows nothing of this. You know, all these tools that are really groundbreaking. And while, yes, the Nobel Prize just happened in 2024, we knew in the community, the Rosetta community, the protein engineering community, if you spoke David's name, we knew it was going to happen at some point in time. And so what I thought, after I graduated, was, okay, how do I communicate my PhD thesis selfishly to my parents, to my cousins, to my community? And then in a broader sense, how do I communicate that to the community that raised me? You know, Black folks from my HBCU undergraduate
real
in South Carolina, but also to just my social media friends. And so that's where the idea of hip hop biochemistry came about. I am a big fan of hip hop. In particular, I am a Nicki Minaj stan, okay?
Nicki Minaj stan, not even a fan. You said stan, okay. I can appreciate Nicki Minaj, not to cut you off, but I think there a few episodes ago, I actually quoted Nicki Minaj on something, but totally random, but go ahead.
I want to hear what you quoted her on. Please,
I can't remember what it was. It'll come back to me.
Okay.
But yeah. It made sense in the moment, but I think, no, I'm not sure. Keep going. I derailed you enough.
At any point, if you remember, just hit those fire bars, because that's what I want to hear. I'm a big Nicki Minaj fan. And in fact, throughout my matriculation, not just in grad school, but even in undergrad, when I was at Claflin University in Orangeburg, South Carolina, one thing that kept me grounded on the wet lab bench, like literally mixing chemicals and pipettes and learning about research in biochemistry, was I would listen to Nicki Minaj verses on repeat. Like I would literally listen, also Beyonce, Rihanna, like many other artists, but in particular, rap lyrics for me were almost meditative, almost put me in that zone. The way rappers like The Queen are so braggadocious and confident in their lyrics, to me, melted away my imposter syndrome in science. It melted away any doubts that I had that maybe this wasn't the right place for me just because I couldn't see myself represented around me. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, so throughout 10 years until my PhD, I'd been, you know, listening to the lyrics that were now, you know, I'd memorized. And so I decided to, okay, as an introduction to proteins and this new field of hip hop biochemistry that I was introducing on YouTube, I thought I would link a protein, specific protein that is known in the database for structural biologists, people who study protein shapes and functions, link that to a hit Billboard song by Nicki Minaj. And so I did this in a series, you know, starting with myoglobin, a protein that, you know, we know causes, is the reason why meat, the meat that you eat is red, is because it actually is the protein that stores oxygen within muscle cells. And so I linked that to Nicki's first Billboard hit wonder, which was a Knockout featuring Lil Wayne. This was the first, myoglobin was the first protein that structural biologists were able to actually get an accurate picture representation of its shape. And so first versus first, that started off and it really resonated with the community. So I just continued from that point forward.
Yeah. That's amazing. What I'm understanding is that you saw an opportunity to relate to people in a way that you already related to using hip hop and Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne. And so, and then you just dove into it.
Yeah, exactly. I just dove into it, you know, carved out a niche and just continued on. I started off on YouTube. With TikTok became a little bit more popping. I spread out to TikTok.
There you go.
On Instagram, and then even when Amazon launched its podcasting platform called AMP, I decided to even try live streaming this, you know, and so I started doing a radio podcast where people would come on and it was a competition, you know, I was offering like a prize money at the end where people would come on and they would try to learn about biochemistry. And the only way you would stick around or gain immunity was answering these STEAM questions, STEM plus arts, right? Science, technology, engineering, math plus arts questions and gain immunity. And now your fellow competitors will not be able to vote you off. We've now done 3 seasons of this stimulated games where they're learning hip hop biochemistry. And these are students from all backgrounds, all walks of life. There's no requirement to have a science degree to participate in this. There's no, prerequisite for this. You just have to be 18 and above, college age, and participate in this. And I found a lot of people are really responsive to this. People want to learn about science. It's just the way we teach it in our institutions isn't the most fun way. And so this is an alternative to supplement independent study for folks who want to continue learning about STEAM.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a really good point that people want to learn about science. People enjoy learning. Like, I don't know how many times I've learned stuff from TikTok University, and I had that in air quotes for a reason, but it's kind of true. There's so many things that we learn in the short form content or from podcasts or different shows, as opposed to the traditional education platforms, educational media, so to speak, because we are wired to, we like entertainment. We like to make things fun. And when you're able to do it in a fun way, an engaging way, people enjoy it.
People enjoy it. And so many times I've gotten that exact same comment that, oh, I learned a little bit about biochemistry when I was, you know, in school, but my teacher, he was awful. I hated my teacher. So he just turned me off completely to that. But learning it in this exciting, fun pop culture moment, like now I'm actually like, I want to learn more. Yeah. So the spectrum of like students we've had, like we've had single moms and single dads, you know, stay-at-home moms. We have had, you know, college students actually actively enrolled, trying to supplement their studies, trying to learn a little bit more about how they could, you know, actually use this material to balance their college education. We've also had just graduated high school students trying to think about majors, trying to think about, okay, what do I want to do in terms of careers? We've had them participate in some of these. And some of the fascinating things that we've been able to do with this is students from season one actually presented their research, because essentially we're doing this game show, but it is in the format of a research program. Although they are learning through the audio, you know, platform or even visual when we do it on Twitch, they're getting a hands-on experience computationally because they're able to actually design their own proteins, you know, to the extent that the season allows. They actually see different types of proteins, the different shapes. We go through all of these different proteins like myoglobin, hemoglobin, the reason why our blood is red. We go through saliva, amylase, what breaks down food in your mouth to give you energy. We talk about antibodies that fight against diseases on our behalf. We talk about enzymes like bromelain in pineapple that gives you that little bite when you chew it. Yeah, because proteins are all around us, and quickly people start becoming fascinated and finding out about this. And then they make their own proteins at the end, whether it's through a lyric of their favorite artist, or in the case of the last season, season 3, we actually made these proteins in Gag City. Season 3 was dedicated to the Barbs, and it was mostly Barbs throughout Nikki's historic world tour, and so we were physically in Gag City learning about biochemistry.
Oh, man. So that just proves right there that Nicki Minaj fandom runs deep in all that you do. No, that's really cool. So you said you just got to a season 3. Is there a season 4 coming, and how many people participate in each of the seasons? I didn't know if it's varied from year to year.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, so when we started in 2023, we started with 21 students in the class, original class, the AMP class. This is when we were doing this on Amazon's platform. And Amazon was actually paying me every month as a DJ, and I would pass that monthly fee to my students as the prize money for learning this. And so then in 2024, we came back with season two. And season two was mostly Amazing Race. Yeah, Amazing Steam Race. And from that one, we went platform to platform with about 25 students spread across internationally. We had students in Ghana. We had students in Rwanda. We had students in Zimbabwe, where I'm from originally.
Yeah, nice.
And of course, we had American students as well. And we went platform to platform, much like they would in the Amazing Race. And that was 25. And then Gag City, at the end of last year, we really had 30 students. So it even increased. Wow. And not only were we meeting virtually on literally every platform, Twitch, Station Head, Instagram Live, all, you know, ad stimulated. So it was easy for them to find this. But we were also meeting in real life at the concerts. And so I went to several concerts last year in Baltimore, D.C., Los Angeles. And yeah, even got a shout out from Nicki Minaj herself. Like, which was awesome. I don't know if she knows the full breadth of what we were doing, but she just loved that we were, you know, organizing communities within her fandom and enjoying ourselves as we were enjoying her music and enjoying her performances. So that was really fun. It was really fun. So yeah, we are planning a season four now. It's in the works. I definitely wanted to essentially just round out the number that we have so far. We have 70 unique individuals. We have had individuals repeat. So 76 in total have participated, okay. But we have had them, some individuals repeated in different seasons. They've come back. They just loved it so much that they had to come back, participate again. And so unique individuals, it's been 70. I would love to just get to 100. That would be super great. So yeah, season four, we're planning for that to start in June as an anniversary of when we started in season three last year. So I'm pretty excited. Season four, I have a few more tricks up my bag.
Okay. Any of the tricks that you could share with us or not? We're going to have to wait.
No. I would love to share, though. I'd love to share.
Yeah, yeah.
The perfect forum to do so as the leadership podcast, the leadership forum, where else to talk about this idea of leadership within science, biotech. So yeah, I've partnered with a biotech company called Levitate Bio. They have donated as a sponsor credits for us to actually use their platform to de novo design proteins from scratch. And so my students are going to not only get the hands-on experience of using prediction software like AlphaFold and RosettaFold like we've done in the past, and, you know, ChatGPT and this kind of stuff, because you can do it at home, right? That's fine. Yeah. But they're going to get a hands-on opportunity to actually make proteins that we can actually make in the lab setting. So we've been making, you know, lyrics-based proteins. Now they'll be able to evaluate their proteins based on computational metrics that have been published over the last 20 years of different papers. And they'll actually be able to apply some of those papers from those formulas from those papers to their design process, compare what they've made through lyrics of their favorite musicians to what they're actually making based on the metrics that are combinatorial there. And so, yeah, I'm very excited with opportunity to work with Levitate Bio, but also to bring this more hardcore science to the science communication world. You know, let's not just talk about science and what we could do with it, but let's actually do things with it and learn through creating brand new molecules from scratch.
Wow. That is really incredible. The fact that you're able to use this platform working with Levitate Bio and creating proteins from scratch. Like, I have no idea what that process looks like. I mean, my background's in chemical engineering. I have a minor in biomedical engineering. So I know I had to take a biochemistry class. It was probably the worst class I had to take. I did not do well. I passed it, but not do great in that class. It's interesting. But I guess like for someone who's never been exposed to this, like what is something you need to know when you're even trying to think of creating the protein?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah, well, first, you know, as a chemical engineer, you know about polymers, of course. You are intimately familiar with polymers that run our life. from plastics, these are polymers, to textiles, the clothes that we wear on our backs, polymers. And a polymer is essentially just a long continual sequence of one repeated unit, right? It could be more than one, but typically one repeated unit over and over again. Proteins are polymers. Proteins are made up of the monomer being an amino acid. An amino acid is the smallest unit of a protein. And in our last season, we actually learned about all 20 of these natural amino acids. And then we even extended it to some unnatural amino acids.
Unnatural.
Some of the ones that are not commonly used, no, non-canonical and non-classical.
Not like the essential amino acids.
Exactly. Not just essential and non-essential, but also some of the ones that are used for structure solving, like selenol, cysteine, that kind of stuff. And so we took the alphabet A through Z, 1 through 26, and we assigned amino acids. These are the building blocks for proteins on all those. And then we assigned them to colors. And people were actually able to learn about different colors of amino acids and therefore different colors of proteins. So when you look at a protein, it starts looking like a canvas with multiple colors, but the different color organization is really the sequence of that protein, because the protein is only as unique as its sequence, right? So the sequence determines what the protein structure is going to look like, and the structure determines the function of that protein. And so learning that three-step process is very important for proteins. And the same thing is when you are designing your own protein, you're designing a sequence, right? Ultimately, off your protein. And the way I link it to lyrics with hip hop is essentially, you know, particularly rap, is essentially poetry on beat, right? Where the beat is actually giving that motion and melody to the poetry that could be Shakespearean, honestly, in some cases. Okay. Like,
yeah. Very true.
It could also be funny and, you know, just jovial, whatever. But oftentimes, particularly in rap, we're talking about bars, philosophical bars, right, that have some sort of a punchline at the end. And that rhythm, that sort of like synchronization between elements and bars, that I linked to functions within proteins, right? And so if you think of a rap lyric that you love or a specific poem that you love, think of that same sequence, the specific arrangement of not just letters within words, but words within the sentence to make your phrases. Think of that as a sequence of amino acids. Right. Making up a protein. And then the way your verses or your lines intertwine with each other, with the punchlines, with the metaphors, or with the rhyme schemes, could be how a protein folds from its primary sequence of just the sequence, the first level of structure of a protein, but then to the secondary structure where it starts forming these helical coils and beta sheets, and then tertiary structure where it's now associating with other protein motifs, helices with beta sheets together forming this molten globule protein, and then finally the quaternary structure of a protein where it's associating with other elements, like whether it's, like, for instance, hemoglobin. We talked about its function in blood, how it shuttles oxygen around. So it needs to associate with iron, and that's what gives it its red color. That's why our blood is red. It associates with iron as its final quaternary structure in order to be able to associate with oxygen, bind with oxygen, and be able to shuttle it around. Similarly, in rap lyrics, if you now take that metaphor and extend it further, that poem with metaphors and rhyme schemes, add the beat to it. That's almost your aqueous environment. That's almost the water that's actually gyrating all of those lyrics. And so students have been able to take lyrics that they love from, you know, popular rappers like a Nicki or Biggie or Tupac, and basically try to make their own lyrics, either edit, that's now in the sense of proteins, we're now calling that protein engineering, right, where you're adding different amino acids, or create their own lyrics from scratch. The winner of season 2, Kamara Ice, made a protein based on her own lyrics, bars, actual bars, just describing the simulator games and how she won and competed against 25 students to be the ultimate reigning champ. And the bar is actually talking about that. And we took that, put it into a protein sequence modulator. This was called protein generator at the time. And she ran several rounds of simulations to try to make it look like any of the proteins she had seen in the past. And so now we have that protein. It's actually a beautiful helical type protein. And the question is, does it fold into an actual molecule? This is the question we want to answer in season 4. And so, yeah.
That's really cool. I love how you build all on top of all it, from the primary to the quaternary structures, and how that relates to like when you're creating lyrics to the beat of rap lyrics, and even going down to even like the protein editing and like editing lyrics, like almost like a freestyle almost.
Yeah, I'm really happy you appreciate that, because yeah, I really, when I was trying to come up with this course or you know, build this hip hop biochemistry, like you said early on, it's unheard of, you know, a little bit. I think there are people who already know of the notion of taking hip hop and using it in science. Like some of my favorite science communicators have done this. Raven, Justin, who you had on here, as well as Maynard, like all of these people, they do all of these awesome science communication things where they take hip hop and they link it to some scientific concept. But the idea of actually implementing this in research, you know, I could not find this around. I really couldn't find it. And yet we have so many problems within our communities that we need science to attack. But when we have very few scientists that come from our communities, then those problems are never on the top priority list. So yeah. In fact, one of my students identified one of these problems, actually, Kamara Ice. She wanted to make a protein that chelates to metals so it would help to purify water. She's from Florida and she was thinking this would be useful to purify. Apparently they have nasty water there, but apparently it would be useful to purify the water there. But also you can imagine this would be useful for, let's say, Flint. You know, the Flint water crisis. That would be great. Yeah. We had another student who was leading the charge on basically sustainable fashion. She was like, she wants to make a protein that would be a silk protein as opposed to the way we currently, you know, source silk from silkworms, right? That is not sustainable at all, killing all these silkworms larvae. What if we were able to just generate proteins in E. coli? But, you know, what would that silk protein look like? And so, yeah, there are all these problems that are within our different marginalized communities that I think scientists could, that emerge from these communities could lead the charge on attacking. And so, yeah, when I was trying to think of how do I create a course that would communicate not only the fundamentals in biochemistry, but then also equip students with enough tools to start imagining these different concepts to attack problems within their lives, I found hip hop to be the source of innovation historically for our community. Really? And it's a very useful tool.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipaul.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
Do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like hip hop was revolutionary in our community, you are revolutionizing the biochemistry community with hip hop. So I think it's like a full circle moment.
That is so true. Yes, exactly.
That's cool. Well, I know we talked a lot about Stimulator, but you mentioned like two or three other things that you do. So first off, I want to ask, how do you do all these things? Like, what does that look like to you? Like work-life balance? Is there a balance? Like, just talk me through all of that.
Yeah, I found, obviously, this is another great question. Time management is, I think with entrepreneurs, with educators, I'm sure Paul, you can attest to this, is always a learning process, always a learning curve, right? But I found a secret that works for me is the thing that you mentioned early on, is building upon things or connecting things so that essentially they become one, right? And so when I am trying to teach about these different new models that are coming out every day for protein prediction, protein structure prediction, or, you know, protein design. And I'm trying to learn these models to teach to my students. I'm literally learning things that would be useful for my 9-to-5 as a protein engineer, right? And so as I am covering scholarly articles about, you know, the latest frontier in research that I could use to, you know, inspire some students to learn specifically how they can, you know, attack their problem within their community, I am also kind of developing, you know, like a critical thinking set of skills of things that I would be interested in at work. And similarly, you know, these worlds are connected. And so I try to always connect those worlds. That's why with Stimulated this last season, we actually chronicled all that we did with the amino acids, with the Gag City up at all. We chronicled that in a coloring book. And so we actually released a coloring book that basically now people can color in the sequences of the molecules of the universe, right? From virus proteins that we've been talking about, like SARS-CoV, or even bacterial proteins that infiltrate our water drinking system, something that we talked about, but also even, you know, silk proteins, hemoglobin, myoglobin, all these proteins, they can color them in. And then at the very end, there's a fun competition where they can basically color in a new protein and make a new protein to participate in what we have going on with Stimulated Games. And so, yeah, threading those things, you know, connecting things together and also relying on a network of other science communicators. You know, Paul, I have been admiring your platform from afar for a really long time. Very inspiring to see how you talk to leaders and talk to other scientists about, you know, how they're, you know, coordinating things, how they are, you know, building things from scratch, trailblazing in this world. You almost give language to and almost like a silent thing that we don't talk about, right? Which is the struggles of entrepreneurship journey and the struggles of connecting and being a trailblazer in a place that is untapped. And so, yeah, it's hard, but I find that that main skill of connecting things around. And so even this podcast for me is a connection to something that's going to continue on in the future. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, and I really appreciate your support. And like, yeah, it's a joy to connect with people like you who are really passionate about what they're doing, not only in what you do as a protein engineer, but in the STEM communication and then really putting it in a way that's digestible, because sometimes people like I don't want anyone to get the understanding that STEM is easy. It's not always easy. It's hard, but that doesn't mean it's not meaningful. It doesn't mean that you don't enjoy it. There's hard moments really in anything that you do. There's parts of any job that you don't necessarily like. But I think what you're doing, and then the people I have on the show, like talking specifically about STEM, and then the leadership component, and like really the interpersonal skills and developing yourself, I think it's a crucial thing. What you were talking about with the connecting piece of different things that you're doing, for anyone listening to this episode, is that I think sometimes we get caught up, we go to school to become an engineer, scientist, technologist, and we're like, oh yeah, we go to school for this one thing. We can only do this one thing. And what I've been trying to do with this show is to tell people that you don't only have to do one thing, first of all, you can do multiple things. And even what you go to school for doesn't have to be necessarily what you do long term. You can evolve, you can change and do different things.
I love that. I love that. I even love what's on your shirt right now. Influencer. No, I am a leader. Like, influencers are leaders. And I find a lot of scientists or just STEM or STEAM folks in general hesitant to step into that light and call themselves STEAM influencers for, you know, various reasons. But really, when you think about it, if we don't have STEAM or scientists as influencers, who do you want influencing the world? Somebody else is going to step in that role. And so I love the way you're turning that phrase to now be, you know, it's influencers are leaders. And so if you now think of they're not being science influencers, then you're thinking of it as not being science leaders, you know? And so I love that turn. Yeah,
exactly. I think it's all semantics. Cause yeah, this is just like a play on words. Cause I say leadership is influence. But then a lot of times people don't think of themselves as leaders. They think of like, okay, but people can resonate more with influencers. And so like to your point, like we have a lot of influence that's happening, but we want to make sure people who are influencing actually have the knowledge and not just saying things just to say things that sound great, but there's no scientific backing behind it.
Okay. And sometimes the stuff don't even sound great, okay? Because
also, sure.
What are we doing? Let me not even give examples. But we need science leaders and influencers now in this time more than ever. And so I feel like what you're doing with your platform is more important now more than ever. So yeah, I'm so happy to connect right now in this moment. And for your audience that's listening, you know, I wonder, you know, you're doing something else. You're also inspiring people to be leaders in their own disciplines. Yes, you might not be a scientist. You might not even be interested in science. And child, you don't have to. But leadership is, I think, a learned trait for anybody. I don't think people are born leaders. I think people are learned to become leaders and become good leaders. And so, I hope for people who are listening, this is things to take away here, things that they can apply in their everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you mentioned that leadership is a skill. And I think, and I'm sure you've seen it at work, like a lot of times, people will be really good at something like on the technical side. They're like, okay, you're really great. We're going to promote you. And now you're going to lead a team of people doing that. But it's not the same skill set to do the work as it's to lead other people doing the work. And so that's, I don't even know if we have time to dive into that, but that's just something to realize that it's a different skill set. You have different responsibilities. It doesn't mean that you can't learn it. Like, no one is just born great at leadership. Some people are better. They're more predisposed to it because we all have like natural gifts and talents. But I think with any gift or talent you have, it's your responsibility to develop it. And all that means if you have a gift or talent is that when you put 10 hours of work in or someone else puts 10 hours of work, you're going to get much more out of those 10 hours than someone else. Doesn't mean you don't have to work hard. It just means that the amount of output you're going to get in the same amount of time is much more.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And just to add to that, yes, you might come in with the skill that was required for a specific position, and then you get promoted to manager. You should be open to learning new skills even before the promotion, right? You should be able to communicate across different disciplines, filling the gaps where needs are met. You know, a lot of us have a lot of this mindset of, I came in here to do my job, what was in the description, and go home, collect my paycheck and go home. And it's like, that's not how we grow in roles. I've had to learn that over several industries that that I've been in, or several jobs that I've been in. You learn that, okay, it's about overall productivity of the team, right? The health of the team. And if you want to grow ultimately to become a leader, if you are, you know, wanting the health of the health of your team to continue growing, you want to fill in those gaps, or at least identify the gaps that need to be filled and let managers and leaders know this is a way you're able to modulate that. And then, yeah, again, another thing that I think leaders, particularly within biotech industry, like, this is a unique area of leadership, right? I think being a manager also takes into account the career trajectory of somebody, right? Like, mentoring is leadership. Like, mentoring junior associates is something that comes with the job of a principal scientist or as a as an engineer in different areas.
Absolutely.
I've had to mentor several folks, and what I discovered is I actually enjoy that. Like, you actually get to learn about, because not everybody, there's no one career path for everybody. People think there is somewhere where it's written in the books, particularly young scientists. They think like there's somewhere where it's etched in stone that I go to school, you know, I graduate, I get my job, I buy my house, 401k, I retire, and I die. That's not written anywhere.
No.
Career is what you make it. And it's really based on your background, your unique training that has led you to this stage, and what you want out of life. You know, there are sometimes, you know, there is no one job that fits all. Some jobs have to modulate. You have to learn what you like from a job and what you don't like. And then the things that you don't like, are those your weaknesses? Can you work on those? Can you grow on those? Or is it time to adjust your career slightly and go into a different area where there's more of what you like and more of what you, you know, what you can do? Because If you like what you do, it doesn't feel like work. And if you like what you do and it doesn't feel like work, you're likely going to do a really good job and you're going to excel in that area. And so it's very important to always do a temperature check internally as a young scientist or as a young, you know, person navigating different careers. But it's also important as a leader to take a team temperature check, figure out, are people enjoying their jobs? Are weaknesses becoming strengths through training, through, you know, mentoring? Or are they actually become, you know, debilitating to the team? In which case, yeah, it's time to reposition individuals in different team contexts. So yeah, this is a constant evaluation. Do we always get it right? I'm sure not. I'm sure not. But I love the learning process. I think of myself as a lifelong student. I don't know, Paul, I don't know about you, but I was doing the calculation, you know, over the pandemic, actually, of where I have spent my time in life. And now last year I turned 35 and I calculated that out of those 35 years, only 5 of those years were outside of an institution. So this, it's like started kindergarten at 5. We call it in Zimbabwe creche. And so I was kindergarten and then primary school, then secondary school, then, you know, what we would call here high school, right? And then in high school, and then I did A-levels and then came to America, my undergrad 4 years, and then PhD 5 years, postdoctoral training an additional year, and then joined the workforce in an institution. And so I have been in some sort of institution.
Wow.
30 years. Okay. And that's 3 decades. Wow. And that's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I think we all ought to, again, do that as analysis. Like, where has your time been spent? And during that process, have you been able to, you know, do an internal check and be like, okay, I'm doing what I love, not necessarily what is prescripted. Because nobody prescribes your life. Nobody can do that. Only you can ultimately navigate that. Yeah. Does that rhyme with you, Paul?
Yeah, that's so true. That last part you said, that no one prescribes your life. That's a bar right there. It's like, either in my life, and like people on the show talked about it too, about sometimes that the things that they initially go into, they felt like it was stuff that their family wanted them to do, or maybe even if something that they thought they wanted to do, but as they were exposed to different things, they're like, actually, I want to try this, or I want to do that. And it's, I know for myself, up until when I was a freshman in college, I thought I was going to go to med school, become a doctor. I got exposed to research the summer before my freshman year of school, and was up until like really the last semester I was going to graduate, I was like, okay, I'm going to go the PhD route, do stuff in research. But then I was back and forth between, like, I really enjoy, like, working in the manufacturing setting or be able to work on stuff that I'm able to see in stores. And I want to do research in that setting. So I chose to go directly into manufacturing. And now I work in R&D. So I get to do a little bit of both. It looks a lot different than academic research, but I still get to do some research. But I also get to be on the consumer side. So kind of blending the two things.
I love that. And I hope people during what you were talking about right now were also paying attention to how you were directly controlling your career path. Like, you have been in the driver's seat of your career path. You've been like, okay, I want to do something that is less theoretical and more application. And so therefore I'm going to apply for these types of jobs. You know what I mean? Like, you've been in the driver's seat. And I think oftentimes young scientists, particularly young scientists of color, rarely think that they have the right or privilege, right, to direct the career paths. The mindset shift, right? Because it's almost like somebody, you know, tells you about a position or a job, you're like, oh, I'm just lucky to even hear about it, so I'm gonna go into it without even ever thinking first, you know, is this something that I want to do? Is this something that's going to, you know, lead me down a path that I want to enjoy? Because, I mean, honestly, if you don't direct your path, somebody else is going to do it for you, but you are not necessarily going to be happy about it.
Yeah, very true. Oh, I'm even curious with your path, because I know that we go straight into stimulated and we start talking about leadership. And then I share a little bit about my path, but I'm curious with your path, like, Did you always know you wanted to be an engineer? Were you like drawn to proteins? Like, talk me through like how you even decided.
No, that's a great question. Yeah, I discovered my path in engineering over time. I did not always know that. I always knew I wanted to be a scientist from early on as a kid. I would be in the backyard just, you know, capturing snails and small animals, doing dissections. And my mom was like, okay, he's either going to be a scientist or he's going to be a serial killer.
I was going to say, it's one or the other.
So let's put him into some classes that will steer him in the right direction. So very early on, I was in science classes, during holidays or what we call vacation in Zimbabwe, because that's where I did my young education and high schooling in Zimbabwe. We would have vacation periods or holidays is what we call them, between semesters, or between terms. And during those, I would actually go to tutorials, class tutorials. I'll do extended learning, and so I'd learn about, you know, physics concepts and science concepts and chemistry, even though I was doing fine with my grades. But it was a way, I guess, for, you know, kind of summer school, my parents also not to worry about me, you know, killing things in the backyard and things, and not having to babysit me. But this was actually great because I really gravitate towards science subjects. It was something that just came to me, like, you know, like math for me was hard. I was a B student all my life. It was hard, but it wasn't impossible. I kind of understood concepts from the delivery, from the first time you introduce a concept to me and the way you introduce it to me, I would typically grasp enough to be able to get a passing grade. And then if I did some independent study later on, I'd be able to do a little bit better. But yeah, I knew, you know, with Zimbabwe's economic situation, over the last, you know, this is well documented, over the last 40 years, it's not been great. Zimbabwe is the third poorest country in the world. So I knew I wanted to leave the country as an adult and get an education outside of Zimbabwe. So yeah, around 18, 19, I started applying for schools. I had done my what's called O-levels and A-levels. A-levels is where really you focus. O-levels are like SATs. You do like general of all subjects, and then you do like an examination of all of those different subjects. A levels are more specialized, so you only pick three subjects, and then in 2 years you study those subjects vigorously, and then you a specialized exam. So I picked math, biology, and chemistry, and I wrote exams in Zimbabwe as well as exams from the UK called Cambridge tests. And during that time, I was like, okay, all right, they are different flavors, okay, of being a scientist. I was like, all right, it was very hard. It was very difficult. But I used those results and those tests to apply outside of America. I even applied to China at one point in time.
Really?
Yeah. But the school, Clapham University, shout out, ECU. I got an opportunity to go to CU as a freshman. They actually gave me a very small scholarship. It was called an incentive scholarship, $1,500. So $1,500. It's an incentive, right?
Yeah, sounds like an incentive.
Joined their school. But yeah, my parents saw the opportunity as well. I was one of the first in my family to be given a scholarship for a scientific, you know, degree. Like, that was, they saw the opportunity, they saw the potential. And I was also working as a teacher teaching computational literacy, and so together we raised enough money and enough of that tuition to at least send me for my first semester. And then my parents were like, when this runs out, you know, you can bring yourself back home. And I was determined for it not to run out. And so by the time I got to my second semester, I started doing research similar to you. I thought I was gonna going to medical field. And then when I started doing research as a way to pay for my tuition, because I got an internship to do research on site, and I started actually doing the research and applying the theories that I've been learning about all my life now in an, you know, application setting, in a research contest in lab, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting paid to do this. And almost felt like I was being paid to do what I was doing even as a child, right? The dissection, all of that stuff. I was like, oh, this is what it was for. This is my purpose. And so, yeah, I fell in love with that. And I started, at one point, I had three jobs on campus doing research, tutoring, doing supplemental. I was a lab manager in a research lab. And so I raised enough for several semesters after that. And then I applied to a full scholarship because I was still maintaining great you know, good grades and stuff. And so I actually ended up getting a full ride in my sophomore year at Clatsop University. And that was amazing. That was life changing for my whole family, you know, because they were also worried, you know, if you come home, what you going to do? So once I got the full ride, we didn't have to worry. But yeah, I graduated in 2012 at Clatsop University in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And then I decided to do a post-bac because during those 4 years, I did several internships. Every summer, I was at an internship. I was doing it mostly for housing. I was looking for housing and money. But also, you know, I fell in love with research. And so I wanted to answer different biological questions, figure out what is the question ultimately that I love. And so I worked at Yale twice. I worked at Purdue. I worked at Clemson University. And of course, all throughout, I was working at Clatsop University with my advisor there. Shout out Dr. Panasik. And yeah, I was going to conferences, presenting my research. At one conference, I met a recruiter there who was trying to recruit students at a biotech company called Novartis. It's one of the biggest biopharmaceutical companies. Exactly. Yeah. I would say it's top two and it's not number two, but that's a sneaky line right there. And so, you know, I applied to do a post-baccalaureate program. And this was basically, it was called a gap year program. The idea was to beta test grad school coming out of undergrad so that you could, you know, brush shoulders with scientists who are doing this, you know, on a day-to-day basis in industry. It was located here in Boston, actually, at the time. Yeah. And so, you know, it was in the biotech mecca, you know, you have Harvard, MIT, square, you have Northeastern, all of these different Tufts, all these different academic institutions. And you are seeing scientists every single day who are theoretically doing something that you would want to do in the future as a grad student or ultimately as a professional scientist. And so I did that for like a year and a half, all while applying for grad school, because to be honest, I think in the first 3 months, that question was answered to me. Do I want to go to grad school? Yeah. Okay. I loved it. I loved the 8-to-5 of a scientist. I loved it. You know, people don't know this, but the salary is lovely. Okay. And the lifestyle is great because you're getting to answer questions every single day. It's hard work. It is all hard work, but you're getting to answer questions every day. And if you like answering questions or seeking answers to questions, you'd love the research world. And so it was great for me. So during that time, yeah, I had a 9-to-5 while applying to grad school. And the grad school ultimately that I chose to go to was in Seattle, University of Washington, because of David Baker. Even then, he was very, very famous at that time. And so my mentor at Novartis at that time, Anastasia Ward, as well as Mike Acker, they were like, yeah, you should definitely try to apply to UW and see if you can get into David's lab, because yeah, it was the biggest biochemistry lab in the world, specifically for proteins anyway. And he had already deployed this program that was being used internationally called Rosetta to understand proteins and study them more closely. And during my time, during that post-bac, I was seeing the application of all this research skills that I've gained in an academic setting in an industry setting. I was seeing this in the drug discovery context, what you can do as somebody who understands natural proteins. So then my question was, what could I do as somebody who would make brand new proteins that are not in nature? And so I wanted to answer that question with David Baker. And so, yeah, I applied UW. I did rotations and I was very fortunate that he accepted me as a student in my second year. This is 2015. And then, yeah, I graduated in 2019. I focused specifically on really a hard type of protein. It's called a beta sheet protein. I was trying to make those from scratch. It was de novo design, which literally just means designing these proteins on the computer in a way that has not been done by nature. And so we're designing them on the computer and then experimentally testing them in lab to validate what we designed and also to validate the models. And during this time, this is where AI also became super hot. And so I decided to stay in as a postdoc at what was now called the Institute for Protein Design. And this was under Howard Hughes Medical Institute, HHMI.
HHMI, yeah.
That's why I had my funding. And so, I decided to do my postdoc specifically on antibody-type domains and can we de novo design those from scratch? And during this time, also, AI was all the rage in the protein prediction world. This is 2019, 2020. And it really exploded during that 2020. Of course, the pandemic happened while I was a postdoc, ended up becoming an essential worker because we were looking at scaffolds specifically for vaccines, at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, by the end of 2020, I was burnt out. I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
2020 was a lot. And, you know, I worked all throughout 2020. Did not get a break, unlike other people. I really valued the research that came out of that time. It was a lot, but I think it really laid my path for the future of how to combine traditional protein engineering tools like the classical Rosetta ways of doing things, but also and classical biophysics based tools, but also how to now integrate AI based tools like deep learning, generate neural networks and make them useful for protein prediction, but also protein design, protein engineering, and specifically with, you know, antibodies and enzymes. I've always been fascinated with those and many proteins. And so I applied and I was a principal scientist at Novartis again, but Novartis in San Diego. This is in California.
Yeah,
I did that for about 3 years. I enjoyed that. That was an awesome time. I was a manager. I was able to even build a small team of protein scientists. And then I really discovered I really like building teams. I really like building teams, mentoring scientists. I was mentoring quite a lot of junior scientists at the time. I had a direct report and I was like, oh, I really enjoy this HR component of science. And I learned a lot from really seasoned mentors during that time at that place. Like, there were people who had been there for like 20 years. My direct mentor had been there at least 15, you know, and I learned a lot about work ethic, HR, you know, clocking in, project leadership, project management, you know, being able to have people from different backgrounds, different disciplines be on the same team, all in pursuit of one overall protein goal and actually meet deadlines and actually accomplish like really, really awesome things. And so I really fell in love with that. And I wanted to kind of by this point in time, Stimulator was a thing because after I graduated in 2019, I had started my YouTube channel, and so it was growing all this time, you know, and I was, you know, finding ways to reinvent myself and you know, keep up with the youth, you know, the YNs on the internet. I wanted to keep up, you know, and really, you know, because if you're going to be teaching in this space, you have to be as nimble as as all the other entertaining things that are on the internet. You've
been nimble. True.
But I think we'd gotten to our stride. In fact, by the time I left Novartis in early last year, we had presented at Abercam. So I'd won a judge travel incentive thing. We'd won a couple grand, you know, been paid with Amazon, had started their podcasting thing and died. We'd already seen that sunrise and sunset off, you know, the podcast economy and the creator economy. And so I was like, okay, well, let's really try to, you know, establish Stimulator, not just as a platform, but also as a company, you know, like really try to find a way to really put in the guardrails that are needed. And so, you know, Stimulator LLC, we formed it. And so I took the time away from the biotech industry. I was like, all right, let me step away and focus on Stimulator, you know. And that's when we also did season 3. I was traveling all over the country. I literally was last year all over the place. DC, LA, San Diego, like everywhere, North Carolina. But also opportunities opened up. I started working with STEM Media, worked with them. Content, exactly. Yeah, Nehemiah.
And together, he was also on the show, Nehemiah was.
I saw of you, yeah. But yeah, we also work with PBS together, NOAA PBS here in Boston. That was awesome to make this sort of like informal education engineering content. Really, I was really just casted, honestly. But it was lovely. I enjoyed that time. And yeah, also partnering with SACNAS, you know, Society for Advancement of Chicanos and Native Americans in Science. I was on the social media street team, you know, communicating some of the folk, the things that that conference is dedicated towards. I worked with AbraCamps. I worked with Noba Noche, NOBCCE. So it's the National Organization for
Black Chemical Engineers.
Chemical engineers, exactly. Yeah. I was able to be a technical judge with them. Yeah. All the while preparing my coloring book during this time, you know, I presented some of the proteins that the students had made and some of the ones I had made at conferences, and actually getting some, you know, feedback from other scientists during that time and artists in this world. Went to TwitchCon, went to different things. Last year was
it's just like you did not sleep last year. You just so much.
It feels like it. It feels like it. But one thing I did miss during that time was really being part of a team. You know, I told you I really had fallen in love with this element of mentoring scientists, but also being part of a team where we're working towards a mutual goal together. And, you know, being a solopreneur, because this whole time, by the way, Stimulator LLC was me. Okay. Employee of one. Yes.
Maria.
It's very hard doing all of it, you know, making sure, you know, they'll be like, oh, okay. So when PBS hired Stimulator, they're like, okay, so make sure the Stimulator talent is on set. Who do we contact for that? I said, okay, yes, we will make sure he is on set.
Not you being your own personal assistant.
Not me being my own virtual assistant. Virtual personal assistant. Yes, we will hire
him. Real.
So, you know, like it's hard to be a solopreneur, but I was very happy for the time to establish the connections that I made. You know, even the shout outs with Nikki team and, you know, Nick Cannon had worked with them in the past. You know, that was so great, you know, establishing all of these different ways that Stimulator can be a force of good in the world while being a functional business. And so I was like, okay, we've done that for a year, and I think we can continue doing this and allowing the coloring book to be, you know, released and published and, you know, generating funds for the scholarships and for the programs that we are continuing on, like Stimulator Games and Hip Hop Biochemistry. And so I was like, okay, well, so I think it's a good time for me now to rejoin the workforce. And so, yeah. I started as a principal scientist at a small biotech company here in Boston, and I'm getting to do what I really love, which is building a team of protein engineers and scientists, interrogating really interesting questions all along drug discovery. And it's in the startup world, you know, I'm able to contribute really on the ground up. It's more different from, you know, established companies like Novartis or even IPD, right? It's a opportunity to really make impact in a way that I could not before. And so, yeah, that's the full journey.
That's an incredible journey. Thanks for breaking it down and sharing all of that. But I know we're at over an hour at this point, but I do want to make sure if there's anything we haven't talked about, like either you or your journey that you're able to share about before we close things out.
No, thank you so much for this time, for, you know, allowing this conversation to ebb and flow the way you know how to do. Okay.
Appreciate it.
And yeah, if anybody's interested in grabbing a book off our coloring book and supporting some of the programs that we do at Stimulator, you can go to stimulator.com. You can also find us on every platform, on every social media platform. Stimulator. That's STEAM as in STEM plus arts, mu, u, with an e. Most people always spell it with an o. And so I started doing this.
Okay.
Way. I'll be like, I won't see you later. I will steam you later. So sure. Then it would catch on. But yeah, if you're interested in purchasing the book, just stimulator.com/book. 10% percentage of the funds go to the students who have participated in the past and contributed to this book, but also towards, you know, more of these programs and prizes for season 4 Stimulator Games and future things that we are planning in the back end here at Stimulators. Yeah.
That is just so incredible. And while we were talking, I realized this probably like half an hour ago, but I saved it until now. But I remember what I said about Nicki Minaj. I think it was 90% sure it was when she said, to live doesn't mean you're alive. And I will say that you, my friend, are very alive. You're very alive. I love the passion. I love all the stuff that you're doing, not only in the STEM space and the STEAM space, really merging those two together, really creating a huge impact, but also having a lot of fun doing it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. That is, wow, what an awesome outro and send off. I'm so happy you remembered that. And thank you for having me on. And please keep going with this podcast and this platform. I think you are putting the good that we want to see in the world every single day. So thank you, Paul. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thanks for the flowers and all the stuff you're doing. And really turning to the audience, I know you got something from DJ Dr. Mook's story, all the stuff he's doing, whether it's just trying to explore and figure out what you want to do or just learning about how hip hop can relate to biochemistry and protein engineering. Like, honestly, I don't say this often, but this has been one of my favorite conversations that I've had on the show. So it's not that the other conversations weren't great, but this was just, it was very different. I really enjoyed it. And I know you as the audience enjoyed it as well. Definitely stay connected with him. Keep pushing, keep learning. Just question what you're doing. Like, sometimes we get into a process that we're just doing the same thing over and over. We don't even know if we are enjoying it or not. Ask the question and don't be afraid to pivot, do something else. Reach out to different mentors or coaches as well. I'd love to help if I can. But at the end of the day, keep pushing, keep leading. You can be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
STEM pros, let's be real. You've got the degree, the skills, maybe even several years in, but you're not getting the recognition or leadership positions that you're looking for. Well, it might not be you. Actually, I don't think it is. You just haven't picked up the right tools to help move the needle. That's where the Be Incredible Starter Pack comes in. You get a leadership masterclass, a resume template, interview guide to be a pro at interviewing, and even a budget template to level up your financial game. If you're serious about stepping into your next level, head to incredipal.org/start and grab your starter pack today.